This episode of Locked On MLB is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room is changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. This episode is being dropped on Monday, the 14th day of June 2021. We are just about the halfway point of June, and we are going to review a very interesting weekend of baseball that included fantastic pitching, a few potentially troubling injuries, and one team which, as of this recording, still can't seem to get out of their own way. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Odyssey app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. And when we are in our cars, when we're at our home, when we're on our smart device, acting smart ourselves, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I'm experimenting today. That's right. I'm Dr. Frankenstein in the lab right now, and I am using a brand new microphone. So let's hope this one works. Not that there was anything wrong with my other microphone, but I have access to this mic, and I'm seeing if it works. If it doesn't work, guess what? I'm getting rid of it. I'm moving on. Sometimes what you should do, if something's not working, you should cut bait. And if you feel that you have a better option in front of you, maybe you should go that way too. And I'm wondering if the Cardinals are slowly tiptoeing towards that direction. Look at the Cardinals, as of this recording, are a mere one game over 500. Now, Mike Schilt, I give him credit. I was vehemently against the Cardinals making him the manager when he replaced Flaherty midway through the 2018 season, because I thought the job should have gone to Jose Oquendo, who had been the lieutenant under Tony La Russa for a generation. I give Schilt credit. The Cardinals played well when he took over the team midway through 2018. He got the Cardinals all the way to the National League Championship Series in 2019 and got the Cardinals back in the postseason last year, albeit in the truncated 60-game season where they lost to San Diego. They had a lead in what could have been a clinching game for them, which they blew, but still. Well, this year, they are flopping. They are flopping in a division which has been all but handed to them. They were given a team that is the defending division champion that has no intention of winning said division, that being the Chicago Cubs. They are facing said Chicago Cubs, and they are losing to said Chicago Cubs. Yesterday, it was Jock Peterson who put on a little bit of a display as the Cubs wound up beating Cabrera and the Cardinals to an 8-5 score. Now, let's remember that on the 29th day of May, heading into June, the Cardinals were, let's count them, 8 games above 500. And it looked like things were starting to realign in the universe. They had just won a bunch of games against Arizona. They were starting to right the ship. And the Cubs looked like they were going, okay, if the Cubs start to slump, then the Cardinals will take their rightful place. In fact, at that point, the Cardinals were in first place all by themselves. And I thought, okay, the Cubs got off to a hot start. The Brewers stumbled around a little bit. The Cardinals are in first place, just the way I thought they were going to be. And now we look up, and in the 11 games the Cardinals have played, they've lost 9 of them. Now, why am I getting so out of bent? Out of bent? Out of shape. I'm not even going to cut that out because it's a brand new microphone. Over the Cardinals being a team that is one game above 500 in mid-June. Sure, there's more than half a season to right the ship here. But at some point, the ship has to be righted. This is the point I made about the Atlanta Braves, who, by the way, lost last night to the Miami Marlins of all teams. Now, Sandy Alcantara is a very good pitcher, and he is an effective arm for the Marlins. But again, the Braves and the Cardinals were supposed to be the two teams that would challenge the Dodgers and the Padres for the National League pennant, not be sitting around here in mid-June wondering if they're going to get their nose above 500, of which the Braves won't have their nose above 500 by the time this episode drops, because they're now three games under 500. And what will happen if the Marlins win the next two games? The Marlins will tie the Braves. Do you know what happens if the Cardinals lose today and the Reds win? Do you what would happen? Then the Reds would have caught the Cardinals. At this point in the season, a Cincinnati team that is probably going to be a seller in a couple of weeks at the trade deadline should not be saying, hey, we're as good as the St. Louis Cardinals, who should be thinking, are we going to win the World Series this year? The Reds are playing the dreadful Rockies. The chances of the Cardinals and Reds being tied by the time we wake up on Sunday is, say it with me, extraordinarily high. And so something's going to happen. And look, I'm not one to say we need to, we should be cavalier about firing managers. But when you're sitting in an opportunity to win the division and it's not happening, and the Cardinals are playing the definition of mediocre baseball, as are the Braves. You got Mike Schilt managing the Cardinals, and you have Brian Snitker managing the Braves. And Snitker has been a fine manager up until this point, manager of the year in 2018. Something has to be done. A stick of dynamite has to be put under the tushes of these respective teams. And when they are playing this level of baseball, well, look, they got to make a trade or something like that. If you're not going to fire the manager, and I understand not firing the manager, I know that would be a panic move, but I've seen teams do panic moves before, and sometimes it works. And neither one of those managers I just listed are exactly John McGraw. We've seen managers get fired. Heck, I mean, the Renteria got fired last year after finally getting the White Sox back into the postseason. And I'm always willing to bring this up when you have three outstanding managerial candidates in Wotus, Kelly, and Mullins out there not managing. Something has to happen. Something has to happen, and a trade has to happen soon. And mind you, in terms of the trade market, one very scary thing happened to the Washington Nationals, who have now fallen to nine games under 500 and look like, okay, they're in full rebuilding mode for this year. And they had the classic trade chip, the one that could get them one, maybe two really solid pieces to move forward, especially when you consider that a pitcher of Max Scherzer's caliber having the type of season that he's having, a very good one, mind you, is exactly the type of acquisition for a team that could be the difference between going to the postseason or not. And even though he's a free agent at the end of this year, the Nationals could say, hey, you want to go to the playoffs? You want to have a Scherzer on your team for two-thirds of a season, maybe a little more than half of a season, and have him on the mound in the postseason for you? Then it's going to cost you this top prospect. And for some teams, especially in the American League, where one game here or one game there might be the difference between winning your division or playing golf, might be willing to say, you know what, we'll take one piece of our future to have a little more stability in our present. Scherzer could be the difference between home field advantage in the American League Division Series and playing golf. And he left the game against San Francisco last night injured. Now, look, I don't know how bad his injury is going to be. I don't know if it's a precautionary thing, but this is the absolute worst time for an injury like that, especially if he has to go on the injured list for any amount of time, because chances are, as we're here in mid-June, if he goes on the injury list, it'll mean he probably won't be back until July, which is the month of the trade deadline, and would make people a little wary to cough up one of their best building blocks. And this is just assuming that it's a minor injury and he's only going to be on the shelf for a couple of weeks. If it's more than that, then this is just a complete catastrophe for the Washington Nationals, who, by the way, got good pitching after Scherzer was taken out in the first inning, but they still lost 1-0 on a complete game shutout by Anthony DeSclafani, and the Giants wound up winning again. And Kershaw won again, so the Dodgers are keeping pace with them. But the Padres lost to the Mets, so the Padres fell back a little bit. Now, DeGrom left the game with an injury. It doesn't look like it's that serious. Cross your fingers, Mets there. DeGrom, by the way, pitched, what, 6 shutout innings and drove in 2 runs? He's driven in more runs than he's allowed this year. I mean, this guy is, forget the conversation of the Cy Young Award winner, he should be the MVP. And by the way, Universal DH fans, I know I get accused of cherry picking whenever I point out that a pitcher gets a big hit, but it seems like just about every day a pitcher gets a big hit. And if it's something that happens just about every single day and the crowd goes crazy when it happens, is that really a situation where it's so rare that we never want to have that again? Never understood the Universal DH mind. Never made any sense to me. But here we go. It's going to be a wild day. We saw a couple other big games. We saw Aaron Civale strike out a ton of Mariners as the Indians are trying to keep pace right there. The Red Sox won a walk-off game. The A's won a wild walk-off game. And you saw Tampa Bay hold off the Orioles with Ryan Yarbrough pitching well. And you saw the Reds beating the Rockies. And are they sneaking back into it? Not 100% sure. Maybe they are. Brandon Woodruff got another win. The Brewers keep pace. The Astros managed to survive yet another game-tying home run by Josh Donaldson, and they got to keep pace with the Oakland A's. Got a full slate of games, including the Phillies and the Yankees. Why didn't they play on Friday? Why is Friday an off day for Philadelphia and New York? Will someone explain that to me? I bet you can't. Anyway, let's see what happens on the Saturday games. I want to see how this microphone turned out.
Let's talk a little bit about Wealthfront. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. And they have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized for you in just minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences that you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower your taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. We are recording this right now on Sunday morning. The Saturday games have already taken place. I'm not going to review all the games, though there's a few things we should point out. I'm going to say one name, and it's a person I've not heard of before today. Braden Bristow. Have you heard of him? Unless you're a member of the Bristow family or you live in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, chances are you haven't. Braden Bristow is a relief pitcher in the Yankees organization. He is going to be 27 years old, so he's not a super young prospect. He's been in the minor leagues for a bunch of years now. Braden Bristow has pitched 11 games in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre. He has struck out 18 batters in 17 innings. Pretty good ratio. He's only walked 9 batters, so it's a 2-for-1 strikeouts for walks. He has let up 0 earned runs. 0. No earned runs in his 11 games. Okay? Braden Bristow. There you go. Why am I bringing up Braden Bristow right now? Because he is a pitcher in the New York Yankees organization. And the Yankees need pitchers on the major league roster. In fact, they need several pitchers right now. The other day, Taillon couldn't make it out of the first inning. You saw Luis Severino was pitching in a game where he was a rehab start, and Severino was coming back from Tommy John surgery. They desperately need him to be part of the rotation, and he hurt, looked like his groin. He's going to be out for a little bit. It's mid-June. Out for a little bit means don't expect him to pitch this year. Corey Kluber is on the 60-day disabled list. 35-year-old pitchers placed on the 60-day disabled list come back in spring training. Taillon stinks. Almost at the halfway part of the season and your ERA is approaching 6, you stink. And I thought the Achilles heel of this team was going to be its pitching staff. Now, Gerrit Cole is having an outstanding year. I do not think Domingo Germán should be allowed back in the league, but he's allowed back in the league, and he's pitching well this year, as is Jordan Montgomery. But you can't bank on Jordan Montgomery and Domingo Germán to be your number 2 and number 3 starters, and you can't keep throwing the load on a bullpen, which, albeit the last couple of days, have included Aroldis Chapman walking off the mound with his head down. Chapman, who I also don't think should be allowed to pitch in the league, but here he is having an outstanding year, save for the game against the Twins and the game last night against the Philadelphia Phillies. Loaisiga, Green, Michael King out of the bullpen. Their bullpen has done well, but there's going to be way too much pressure put on them if you're going to be asking to carry the load, which brings us back to Braden Bristow. The Yankees need right now one hitter to stir their lineup up, although DJ LeMahieu and Gary Sanchez are starting to heat up, so maybe some of their solution can come from within. I do think they could use someone to sort of energize the team, but a good Gary Sanchez and a good DJ LeMahieu is better than a bad Gary Sanchez and a mediocre DJ LeMahieu. But they're going to run their bullpen into the ground because they're going to be relying on them almost every game, which makes us think that the Yankees need to pick up one more starting pitcher. At this point, it doesn't even have to be quality. They just need quantity innings out of their starting rotation at this point. They don't need to acquire a healthy Max Scherzer. They need a living body who could say, I can get you into the sixth, which once again makes you wonder, why the hell did they leave Tanaka after last year? Why didn't they re-sign him? Anyway, that's water under the bridge right now. But they need to first dip into their farm system and see what they got. And it was a nice idea to bring up Chris Gittens to be a first baseman because he was hitting well in the minor leagues. Said, let's see what we got. Come on, if you're going to put up good numbers, see if you could do it in the major leagues. And the Yankees have to do that by reaching into the minor leagues right now and bringing up everybody because they need depth. They need depth. And as of right now, the Yankees are not a playoff team. They're not. And here's the deal. Stacy Katsoulias of Locked On Yankees talked about how the Yankees have a big trouble closing out series. That's no small thing. Right now, they are 7.5 games out of first place in the American League East. They're also three games out of the second wildcard spot. And they're currently tied with Toronto. Okay? They have to leapfrog Toronto and Cleveland and another team to get that next wildcard spot, to be the visiting team in the wildcard game. So that means they have to play catch-up. They can't afford to lose dumb games. And so they need to find a solution from within. In fact, there's a greater issue going on here, and it's not just with the Yankees right now. In the American League, as I've said over and over and over again, it's going to be a scrum. And one thing we've witnessed is right now, while everyone was napping on them, guess who woke up? The Angels. The Angels are on a run right now. The Angels are at 500. Now, let me give you a scenario right now. Let's just say the Blue Jays lose. It's possible they're playing the Red Sox in Fenway Park. It is possible to lose a game against the Red Sox at Fenway Park. Let's just say the Phillies beat the Yankees. Again, that's a possibility. And let's just say the Angels wind up beating the Arizona Diamondbacks, one of the worst teams in baseball. Heck, one of the worst teams I've seen in a long time. Okay? Let's say those things happen. Those few things happen. None of those are an outlandish question. If those three things happen, then the Yankees, Angels, and Blue Jays will be tied, would all be in a virtual tie for third place for the second wild card game. This is the scrum I'm talking about. The Angels were left for dead. Now they've woken up. And there's a possibility here with less than 100 games to play, which, yes, I know that's a lot of time to turn things around, but we are approaching the halfway mark of the season. And when you look at all these teams that are going to be clumped together, the one thing you cannot do is have a dumb loss. Dumb losses will pile up. Dumb losses will be the one when all those teams I just rattled off that are knocking on the door, that second wildcard spot of a very winnable American League in the postseason, someone will look around going, oh, if only we had won two more games. If the Yankees do that, they're going to look back at yesterday's game against the Phillies and Aroldis Chapman's bizarre meltdown on four straight pitches in Minnesota, going, oh, if they would win those two games, they'd be in the postseason. That's what it's going to be, folks. Dumb losses, and dumb losses starting now. If you get blown out, you get blown out. You know, if that happens, you know, like what the A's did to the Royals yesterday when Matt Olson had a field day, 11-2. If you're a Royals fan, you go like, okay, yeah, that happened. The Red Sox, Nick Pivetta had a meltdown. The Blue Jays were better. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. had his 20th home run, by the way. His dad's career high was 44. This kid's pretty good. He comes from good stock. But, you know, you could say, all right, it wasn't their day. But the dumb losses, like the Mariners handing the ball to the Indians, throwing the ball away to end the game, the Mariners are on the cusp of contending if they win a few games. But for the Indians, like, hey, we won a dumb game. So you try to win some dumb games too, but you cannot afford at this point, any of the contending teams cannot afford a dumb loss because those will all add up. And the teams should right now, all the teams that I just mentioned that are on the outer orbits like Pluto of contention should reach down to their farm system right now. This is what the middle part of the season is. Let's see what we can fix within and then hit the trade market. All the teams I just mentioned, Cleveland, Toronto, the Yankees, the Angels, hell, the Royals and the Mariners, hell, the Astros and the Red Sox for that matter, should reach into their farm system and promote all their top prospects now. Because one of them might click. Because one of them might be ready. One of them might be like that kid Braden, what's his name, whose name I already forgot, who has not let up an earned run while pitching for the Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, whatever the heck they're called. Dumb losses are going to build up. And the scrum has begun. The Angels without Mike Trout have climbed back into it. And you know what? Think about that for a second as Mike Trout is recovering from his injury. Someone posted the other day, you're not going to acquire a huge superstar in midseason this year, that you're going to get complimentary pieces. I don't remember who tweeted that. I think for the most part, they're right, especially if Max Scherzer is indeed hurt and the Cubs have decided to not sell. And, you know, they're currently in first place. And by the way, the Padres have fallen out of a playoff spot as of this recording. So the chance of getting a superstar at midseason is low. But if Mike Trout recovers, rehabs, and comes back, that's exactly what the Angels are going to do. It'll be like acquiring a superstar at midseason, except this superstar won't cost them a single player. It'll just be activate Trout from the injured list, and all of a sudden, a team that has climbed off of the mat, and yes, I know they're beating bad teams, but just a couple of weeks ago, we would have labeled the Angels as a bad team. And now here they are at even 500, and the other teams are allowing them to get back. And they could just plop Mike Trout into their lineup. Dumb losses. You can't afford them. And you also can't use the line of, well, it's early, because these will all add up. You can't afford any of them. You know, on May 22nd, the Angels were a whopping 8 games under 500 and thinking draft pick. They had just gotten clobbered by the Oakland A's. In fact, I believe I was at said game. I was, actually. That was the game where Bassett threw a complete game shutout. So since your pal Sully went to that game at the Oakland Coliseum, the Angels have won 13 of their last 18 games. That's as good as the Rays. And that's almost as good as the White Sox in that period of time. In fact, the only teams who have played better than the Angels in that stretch have been the Cubs, the Brewers, and the White Sox. So if the Angels can climb back into this, and do so knowing that Mike Trout is just around the corner. This, and they're going to be playing Oakland soon. Fine, that's going to be tough for them. Then they'll be playing the Tigers. And then it won't be long before they have to play the Yankees. And if the Angels are hanging around near the Yankees, this could get very, very interesting. Dumb losses, folks. Dumb losses. It's a sure bet that somebody is going to miss the playoffs because of too many dumb losses. If you want to make a bet, go to Bet Online. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball's in full swing. And you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get the latest news, odds, info for all your sporting needs, including baseball, the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device to check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. And let me tell you something. I honestly, truly use Built Bar. I eat Built Bar. I put Built Bar in the hole I keep in the front of my face. Why? Because Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar ever, ever. There are 9 delicious flavors: coconut, coconut almond, cherry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and my personal favorite, raspberry. There's something for everybody. and they're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're delicious, and they're healthy, too. Most flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. Other flavors have 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carb. They're fantastic. They're wonderful. Oh, my God. The raspberry one is great because it's that tangy raspberry to go along with that delicious chocolate, but that may not be your bag. Salted caramel is not my bag, but some of the people absolutely love that. I think we can all agree double chocolate is great. And I gotta wonder if the center is double chocolate and it's covered in chocolate, is it triple chocolate? I don't know, neither do you. Let's keep eating them and find out. I love the taste of coconut too, and you got coconut and coconut almond? Come on, folks, what are you doing? Seriously, I'm almost mad at you if you're not going right now to BuiltBar.com. This is an intervention if you're not buying your Built Bars. Come on, people. You're better than that. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCK15 for $15 off at BuiltBar.com. Don't make your pal Sully mad at you. Buy Built Bars. All right. The Sunday games are done. And man, oh, man. The weekend has shown some big-time underachievers are continuing their underachieving. In fact, the Marlins' loss against the Braves prevented this being a complete weekend of underachievers underachieving, because if the Marlins had held on, had come back to win that game, they would have caught the Braves. But let's review some of the recent catchings here. With the Cardinals in a complete nosedive and being swept by the Cubs, they are now a sub-500 team and currently behind the Cincinnati Reds. That's right. The Reds are in third place. The Cardinals are in fourth place right now. Now, the fourth place team, the Yankees, we're going to talk a little bit about them tomorrow because Emily Nyman, wonderful Yankee podcaster, is going to be my guest tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about their situation. The Toronto Blue Jays hit, I think, 400 home runs against the Red Sox, who dropped the final two games, and they've fallen three games behind Tampa Bay, who won again. The White Sox are on a four-game winning streak, and they have a run differential over 100, 106. And the Mariners held on to their to defeat the Indians, so the White Sox now have a 5.5-game lead in the division, which is the biggest margin for any division leader right now. A's are on a roll. The Angels are on a roll as they are now a game over 500, and they are in a virtual tie with the New York Yankees right now. The Giants lost. Giants bats are starting to fade a little bit, and with the Dodgers victory, the Dodgers held on for dear life as they avoided a bases loaded, nobody out situation in the ninth to hang on to their victory. And the Dodgers are now one game behind the Giants, and the Padres salvaged the final game against the Mets. They were losing, but a grand slam by Fernando Tatis Jr., followed up by a home run by Manny Machado, ended that situation. So, strange weekend of baseball, and we are going to go into the week with a discussion with Emily Nyman about Aaron Boone and what the Yankees should do on their off day. So go to the free and easy to use Odyssey app and all the places where you get your podcasts. This has been Locked On MLB for the 14th day of June, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.